or copper. Gold would be extremely high, an astronomical amount. Silver less, copper even less than that. But it was most likely money, because the Greek word used in verse 18 is a word that is frequently used to refer to silver coinage. So as the man is going away, he gives them what amounts to, in weight, a certain amount of coinage. And the idea was to take this, invest it, and get a return for him, to show yourself a faithful servant, a faithful steward. And that, it really isn't important what the monetary value was. There's no way to calculate it because we don't know what it was. But it's important to note, what did they do with it? Now notice in verse 15, and I think kind of this is the key. He gave them to each man according to his ability and then took his journey. Each man's ability was that which was determined, is that which determined how much he received. Some people had greater capacity to handle a large amount over other, and that's kind of the way it is even today. Now, as you look at the parable, note that the master here, I believe, is the Lord himself. And going on a journey was probably the Lord going back to heaven where he is right now. So that puts us in management. Okay? We have been given various abilities, and that's what we're to use for the working out and serving that Jesus would have us accomplish in his kingdom until he comes back. Not all of us have received the same amount. Not everybody's the same. Everybody was created differently with different abilities, different skills, different talents. And each of us has been exposed to different opportunities. The range is vast. All of us here are different, and that's the way God designed it. In the story, the servant who really loves his master will think, huh, here's my opportunity to invest my time and energy, my thought and my work to bring him back a return on what he's given. Here's my opportunity to show him that he was right in trusting this confidence in me. I want to live up to what he thinks. That would motivate the heart of a loving servant. It would appeal to someone who would want to serve the master to whom he owed so very, very much. And that's the point. The Lord gives people within his kingdom, within the framework of this large body called the church, different levels and abilities and opportunities. God-given gifts and skills. All of us in the body of Christ who identify ourselves as his servants, whether we're real or not, have been given these privileges, these abilities. He apportions it out like it says in Romans 12. He gives each person gifts according to the measure of grace and the proportion of faith. So God gives us all different capacities, and they're all going to produce different results. The issue is, will we give back to God from these opportunities a maximum return? God is holding us responsible. I think it's true faithfulness when the Lord calls us and gives us these abilities, and it's going to be quite a responsibility when he holds us accountable for what we've done. Now, we've talked about the responsibility we receive and a little bit about the reaction that we have. Now let's look at the reckoning we face and the reward we'll gain. In verse 18, he says, he that had received one went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's talent. He dug a hole and buried it. Now, that was a common thing to do when you wanted to save or hide some money. The servant buries the money and does absolutely nothing. He absolutely wasted his opportunity. Each of us is responsible to give God a return on the opportunity he gives us, even if it's only one talent or two. The one who has the very least opportunity is still equally responsible. The responsibility and the reaction then lead to the reckoning. But notice the reckoning in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. The word reckon was a commercial term meaning to compare accounts. He comes back to look at his books. He comes back to see how they've done in terms of stewardship in regard to the opportunity that he gave them. When the Lord returns, he's going to require of us a reckoning of what we have done with the talents and abilities that he's given us. It's funny to me when I read through this parable, this man given the one talent knew that his master was a hard man, expecting seed where he had not sown. He knew that, and yet he still just went and hid the talent. I think in our lifetimes, we'll be held responsible even the smallest ability that God gives us, that he gave us to serve his kingdom. It'll be longer than we think, and yet we know not the day or the hour. So we can't pack it in. We can't pack in a service mentality and sit around and wait. You know, he said, occupy till I come. Now, he's not talking about the rapture here, as we pointed out before, but he's talking about the second coming and the time of accounting of the second coming. That will not be a time of rewarding for Christians, but a time for separating Christians from non-Christians. And I think that's kind of the issue of the next parable that we'll discuss next Sunday. But after a long time, he comes, and then he takes into account all of the talents that have been given to his servants, to his stewards. By the end of the time we get to this chapter, we see a little bit of what the reckoning is going to be. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have made 5 talents more. His master says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Probably some of the greatest words that we'll ever hear. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The same thing happened with the servant with 2 talents. He brought back 100% return also. His abilities may have been a little less, but he was also faithful. And the Lord said, enter into the joy of your master. Here's 2 servants who gave a full return on the opportunities God gave them. I think it's 2 serving believers, true saints, genuine stewards. But there was another one who said, I just received 1 talent and I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you hadn't sown and gathering where you hadn't spread. And he was afraid and went and hid that talent. And listen to the reckoning. Wicked and slothful servant, give his talent to another. I mean, I think that's a very serious message with a very solemn warning. And it's a warning our Lord has given us too. It's something that must have really been strong on his heart because it came out quite frequently in Scripture. And it's not just the church. It's the non-church. It's the church, redeemed and unredeemed, saved and lost, that burdened him, as well as those who make no pretense to care about the kingdom. Even in the day the Lord returns, in the tribulation time, there will be people who have outwardly identified themselves with the kingdom, but inwardly, they don't know him. They are servants, but they'll make no use of their spiritual abilities or talents. Now, what does all this mean? I think the distinguishing mark I want you to remember today is the two servants who used their ability to serve the Lord and prove the genuineness of their salvation. They were willing to spend their time for the sake of the master. But yet one servant stuck his master's money in the ground and spent his time doing exactly what he wanted. He called himself a servant, but he wasn't. He said he belonged to the master, but he didn't. And ultimately, he was thrown out. And here again, we see the same kind of warning from our Lord that he gives over and over again. Be sure that you are not only outwardly associated with the kingdom, but that you inwardly belong to the kingdom. Don't miss the importance of that. We all, regardless of God-given abilities and talents, have responsibilities. And one of those greatest responsibilities we have is to demonstrate the gospel, to depend on the gospel, to declare the gospel. And you know, if we do that, we're going to be just fine when he returns. As you can see behind me, today we're going to celebrate the remembrance of the tremendous price that the Lord paid to provide for our salvation. We're going to celebrate God's plan for redemption. So as the servers come, Jeff, would you come up?